TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and scorenorth.com.
Football. Purple Daily time as we count down the days and hours until a Sunday night showdown between the Vikings and the Seattle Seahawks. And I can already hear in the Declan Goff establishment the Corona Hard Seltzers popping for that game on Sunday.
Is it dangerous that this game's at 7 and not at noon for my Corona Hard Seltzer intake?
Well, if you're going to pregame for like 12 hours, I would
then
be responsible.
Probably dangerous. But then also, when vent line's rolling, I can crack a few as we're wrapping up that. So there's a win-win if I want it pregame or postgame, because that's what you get with Corona Hard Seltzer. It's the only hard seltzer made with pure beach vibes, with a refreshing splash of flavors such as tropical lime, mango cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spike sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment. In each can, Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer, spike sparkling water with natural flavors, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Football.
Cousins hoping to do that from the pocket and open. Justin Jefferson inside the 30 of the Texans.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. He's making plays, creating separation, finishing plays. You know, it'd be an exciting challenge every week to try to find new opportunities to get him the football.
To be honest, it helps us. It helps our offense out to have me doing the things that I do, having Adam make plays and having Delvin run the ball. It's kind of hard to stop, you know, all three phases. And, you know, each week our offense is getting better and better, and we just got to keep moving forward and keep grinding.
That was star wide receiver, and yes, I'm already calling him a star wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, talking about his first month in the NFL and the Vikings offense, which has, in a lot of different categories, become a borderline top five offense, facing off against another top five offense this Sunday, the Seattle Seahawks. We'll get into a what-if scenario here on the show. But, gentlemen, let's start the show off. Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, and Declan Goff here on Purple Daily. The injury report came out for Wednesday, and as if the Vikings haven't already been beaten up enough with Danielle Hunter, it sounds like, is going to be out for the season. And Yannick Ngakoue was dealing with an ankle injury a couple weeks ago, and Anthony Barr is now out. And Eric Kendricks did not practice on Wednesday because of a foot injury. Now, our friend Doogie from the Scoop podcast, he came on Mackey and Judd and said he expects Kendricks to play on Sunday based on information he's hearing. But when you're already down a bunch of defensive players and you've already got rookies and backups all over the place, Eric Kendricks not practicing on a Wednesday with a foot injury against a high-octane offense is a little bit concerning, Judd.
It's very concerning, but let me throw the question right back at you. No, turn the alarm off. It ain't worth it. Here's the question. If he's borderline to play, and ordinarily in a normal year, you would definitely try and push through when he's going to want to play because he's definitely a competitor. Is it worth it? Is it worth it for a Sunday night game in Seattle when realistically we know what's going on here? We're not dumb. We all know. And yes, it could be egregious. It could be terrible. Your defense will now potentially not have Kendricks and Barr. I understand what I'm saying. I'm asking, do you risk anything with anybody you care about?
This message was powered by the Tank for Trevor campaign. I'm Tank for Trevor, and
Pop
I approve
a Corona,
this message.
Hard seltzer, and let happen what's going to happen on that field.
I hear what you're saying, and so I think it really, and this is the story of the first month of the season, it's sort of, which lens are you viewing this Viking season through? Do you see Eric Kendricks on the injury report and think, oh my God, they're already going to have a hard time slowing down Russell Wilson, who's having a career start to a Hall of Fame career to this point? How are you going to do it without Eric Kendricks being healthy? But then what you're saying is, oh, well, if Justin Jefferson wants to show that he's amazing again and the Vikings want to lose this game 42-31 and put up a fight and
42.
Continue to push down the path
who's
of
stopping at
draft 40, positioning.
Who's stopping at 42?
Well, the projected score, according to ESPN.com's Pick Center, the projected score of this game is Seahawks 33, Vikings 26. This is like the average of...
Nice try, guys. The Pac-12 game. 52. I hope so. Yeah, the more points, the better. At this point in time, yes. Give me 55-51.
Seahawks are 7-point favorites and a 66% chance to win this game outright. To Vikings, 34%. Actually, there's a 0.3% chance that they tie. That
would
be something.
The more points, the merrier for me, as far as I'm concerned. It's Pac-12.
Well, I would need to know on the Eric Kendricks front, is this, you know, what type of a foot injury is this? Is this something that if you go out, can you do irreparable damage and maybe put, like, your career in jeopardy or something? Or is he just going to have to grind through a stubbed toe?
Feet are not something that you want to mess around with in football because it can prolong itself then. Like, there's no good... I don't think there's... Short of it being like an ingrown toenail or something gross like that, I don't think there's anything that a foot can have where it's like, it's just a minor tweak. I think it can be worsened. But look, this entire conversation goes back to what I was saying about Cook, which is I think for the Vikings to win games, he needs to get the ball probably and touches a ridiculous amount of time. I'm not saying that's smart. I'm saying you have to pick make your choice. So I'm not advocating that Dalvin Cook should carry the ball 32 times per game. What I'm saying is
you said 30 last week.
Yes. If you want to win games. If you want to win games. But my point is, I don't know that it's that important.
Okay, then let's go down this path here.
Like, this is an interesting conversation.
Let's go down this path. Because I, personally, I am sticking to my... I'm gonna hold my ground on this until the Vikings absolutely prove otherwise, that my mission statement for this team is to win a Super Bowl. I don't think that can happen in 2020. So my mission statement is to win a Super Bowl. I think it would be a clearer path to get there if they were bad enough one time to draft a new quarterback. So that's my stance.
Okay.
But the path I want to take you guys down here for the purposes of this episode of Purple Daily is, what if they beat the Seahawks this weekend? Seattle has 26 guys on their injury report. They've lost two defensive starters, including a really good starting cornerback, ACL injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a banged up starting running back who's also on the injury report, mm-hmm. Carson. And their defense is kind of a sieve. Like, the Vikings and Seahawks aren't exactly, they're not exactly a brick wall defensively. It's not like it was 3 years ago, 5 years ago. And so it is conceivable to me that if the Seahawks turn the ball over or something, like, the Seahawks are definitely favorites in this game, but the Vikings have put up points the last 2 weeks. If these two teams get into a back and forth and Seattle commits an untimely turnover or something, they drop a punt or something, that the Vikings could win this game 34-30 or something like that. All right. It is in the realm of possibilities. What if that happens? And now they're 2-3. And now they're staring at a deadbeat Falcons team at home the week after.
Yep.
With a path to get back to 500, entering a bye week. And then, of course, you get the Packers. But then you got two games against the Lions. You've got the Jaguars, the Panthers. I'm just saying, even though I would prefer to see them go 3-13, show some positive individual performances, draft Justin Fields or something, it is possible they beat the Seahawks. They can score enough points. They can go toe-to-toe to some extent offensively. What if they beat the Seahawks?
It is the makings of the biggest nightmare that the Vikings could have. It is, honest to God, the worst possible thing, because you're right. Oh, yeah, I would panic then, because, and this is why I'm saying, when it comes to Kendricks, do you say, Eric, you know, thanks a lot, but no. Because then let's say you do come back and the Falcons have not fired Dan Quinn by then, and now you're 3-3, okay? You are setting yourself up. If you chase that seventh playoff seed, which in the scenario that you're talking about, Phil, is possible, it's a nightmare because you're not good enough to do a thing with it. You are basically putting yourself back into the box that you've been in for so long. The only thing is, and the difference is this, I'll give the Vikings credit because a lot of times they are good enough to win a playoff game. 2019, I get that. And in those years, all right, what the hell? Chase it. Go ahead and chase it. But look at this defense. Like, so if you beat the Seahawks and your offense, you know, let's say Dalvin Cook gets going and Jefferson has a big game and Kirk doesn't feel the pressure because it's actually not there, which is when Kirk unfortunately thrives. And all of those ingredients come together and you win 42-34. All right. Your defense is still in shambles and it's not all your fault. This is the season to lose. So I think a win against Seattle is chasing nothing. I think it's worst case. And I think it possibly builds you up to have, at the end of the day, a false sense of security that you have no business internally, if you are the Vikings, having. And there's nothing worse than, because the players will be like, oh, yeah, no pressure. No. I'm with you, Phil. I want this team to build up to be in a place where it can pursue championships. And there's nothing that they can do from a winning standpoint in 2020 that's going to actually be the pursuit of a championship if they win.
What about you, Declan?
Well, what if I told you that the Vikings defense can't get any worse than it is right now? Like, the Vikings defense is pretty damn bad. We all know that. Mike Hughes is coming back, right? We still don't know about Danielle Hunter, but let's just rule him out. Like, let's just rule him out of the equation because it's unfair to say when he can come back. I don't think this defense can get any worse, which means I only think it can get better. If they get a big win against Seattle, then you have Atlanta. I think that's a guaranteed win. Now you're 3-3 going to the bye week. And football is so random. And if you're an offensive first team, which now the Vikings are trending to be, that's the sexy thing to do in the NFL. All of a sudden, the narrative completely changes.
You've just hit on kind of an interesting point in that we've kind of been sitting here. I think they've backed their way into it a little bit here, but we've been sitting here for years kind of questioning, boy, this like defensive first organizational philosophy that it just takes so many perfect components to win a Super Bowl that way. And they did it. Like, lo and behold, they freaking did it in 2017. They put together the perfect defense for the modern NFL. Great pass-stopping defense. They got after the quarterback. And they still get their asses kicked in Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game. And then the defense starts to erode because Everson Griffin gets a little bit older and Linval Joseph gets older. And Danielle Hunter, Anthony Barr was not as good as we thought. And they like mistakenly signed him to a contract. It's just so hard to keep those 11 pieces all together. And now we're looking at a team that, yes, they're 1-3 to start the season, but they are the fifth best offense in the NFL yards per play. Pro Football Focus has them, I believe, with the seventh best offense to start the season. But they've kind of like, they've kind of found this new formula of two-star wide receivers, Dalvin Cook, Pam. The pass blocking has been better in the last couple of games. Is this the evolution toward, like, and if they beat Seattle, it's going to be with offense, right, this weekend? So are they sort of like sneakily evolving into something that we've wanted them to evolve into the last couple of years?
Not even close.
Okay, I'm just throwing, all right. I'm
what
still
Declan,
tanking for Trevor.
Listen,
I'm
going to help
Trevor.
Declan out. Sports Dad is here, okay? Right. Because what Declan said, 27, right, Dex?
Yeah, I've snuck out of the house a few times. Yep.
Okay, you're 27.
Okay. Yep, 27.
Phil, Declan is in the primo, and you were there, and you're done now. But Declan is in, and I don't fault you, and what you said makes sense coming from you because you are in the primo territory of what I like to call Viking Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, God.
And it's this.
This is a man who's weathered a lot of Vikings football, folks.
And it's this.
Sports Dad.
Vikings Stockholm Syndrome is the good enough syndrome. Because what you're talking about, Dex, is, oh, they can rebound and come back and make it a competitive year. And thus, my Sundays, spent with Corona Seltzers, of course, and Vikings football can be great fun again. And look, they're competitive, right? But what Phil has evolved to, which is where we all have to be eventually, is, yeah, but what's the championship formula? The Vikings are nowhere near that yet. Now, offensively, you know what? They've got components, no question. But those need to be pieces of the formula, not... You Dex, you're dating a 21-year-old who's just out to have fun, and she's great, but there's no future there.
Been there, yeah.
There's no future there. Now, maybe you continue to date, and in 3 years, bang, there's a future there, okay? You know, Dalvin and Justin Jefferson especially.
You say this is a dead-end relationship? The Vikings are a dead-end relationship right now?
Yes, and there are components that over time could grow here. But the whole notion of, well, if they just beat the Seahawks and then they get the Falcons, that's a sure win, right? Well, now they're 3-3 and it could be fun. But what Phil keeps saying, and Phil now, in my opinion, has landed in the exact right places. Yeah, but what's the championship here? Like, what's the pursuit here? And the ultimate answer right now is there's components that could be very successful eventually. But for right now, there's not that formula. It's like starting to just sort of, you put it on the stove and it's like, is it starting to boil yet? I see a little bit of things bubbling up. But beyond that, it's just a little bit here at this point in time. It's not the full thing yet.
All right, sports, so what you're saying, your response?
And what you're saying there is, all right, I've had my heart broken, so I just need to let the person come to me. I'm saying mm-hmm. I'm going to put my eggs in a couple baskets here, put some feelers in a couple different situations, and who winds up with the best situation, we'll find out. That's where I'm at right here. I apply this to life and football.
Right, but you're young. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I think the more likely scenario here is that they're feeling good after that Houston game, but now all the stuff that's come out now, the fight between the previous week, J.J. Watt and Bill O'Brien got into basically like a brawl. Like it didn't get physical, but J.J. Watt basically ended Bill O'Brien on a practice field.
Good for him.
And the team decided, all right, this guy's gone. And it wasn't just like your standard, a team quits, and it's kind of hyperbole, like, oh, that team quit. No, like, this team actually planned to quit in that game against the Vikings.
Yes.
To get their coach fired.
And you could see it.
And so we have to take that into consideration when we look at the first win of the season for the Vikings. I think the more likely scenario, and this is good news if you are tanking for Trevor mindset, is that they get put in their place against Seattle, and now they're 1-4, and then we'll see what happens in that home game against Atlanta. But it is a fork in the road here for the Vikings, in that more often than not, when they're in this position, and we went through the 1-3 starts earlier this week on an episode of Purple Daily, more often than not, historically, this franchise at least responds to be respectable still when they start poorly, because they're not the Browns. They're not the Lions. They don't train wreck. And so this could still be a situation where they collect themselves, they've got enough talent on offense, and they move their way toward a 7-9 season that's relatively meaningless. Back to the show in just a moment, but a quick shout out to Federated Mutual Insurance Company, helping Minnesota business owners since 1904, based in Owatonna. And you can follow them now on Twitter at FederatedINS for fresh, relevant risk management content on a variety of topics like working in extreme temperatures, which we are very used to here one way or the other in Minnesota. Distracted driving, which we, I think, are also used to here. Check out this month's Risk Management Corner article addressing fire prevention on Federated Insurance's website as well. Fire Prevention Awareness Week runs October 4th through the 10th. And this year's theme is Find Fire Before Fire Finds You. Federated Insurance, it's our business to protect yours. And after all this discussion, what I am asking for here is to lean into the bad start and embrace it.
I hear you.
And be okay with it and still find little silver linings of Justin Jefferson and rookie cornerbacks improving throughout the season.
The important thing here is we all know that football teams don't actually tank. Like, there's no such thing as, you know what'd be great? Let's lose, okay? But the Kendricks thing is the perfect example of what I'm talking about, which is, if there is a risk there, let's say it's a 10% risk that he plays and the foot gets a lot worse or something. Mm-hmm. Ordinarily, in a good year, I think you might be like, I'll take the risk. We got to do it. He's too good. It's Seattle. It's Russell Wilson. The quote unquote tanking aspect here, Phil, is very simple. You ask yourself right now, is this worth it? And if my answer is it's not, he doesn't play. And it's not like I'm purposely sabotaging it, but what I'm doing is I'm weighing what the result's going to be.
Sure.
So he doesn't play, I'm probably going to lose for sure. Now, am I upset by that? Absolutely not.
That's fair. The other storyline for this weekend's game against the Seahawks, it's a primetime game. It is a national TV primetime game, and our friend Kirk Cousins in his career in primetime. So he's winless on Monday nights still.
0-9, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's got to 0-9 with the loss last year.
Or I've got something here. It might be 0-8. Either way, like, he's winless on Monday nights.
Okay.
He's 8-15-1 in primetime games or in what they call island games, where you're the only game being played. So I think that includes playoffs too, where like it's not a primetime game, but you're playing the Saints in the afternoon and it's the only game on, right? 8-15-1. So he's 500-ish in those games if you take away the Monday night games. Now, he hasn't always just played like garbage in these games. there's a couple I can remember that Thursday was at the Thursday night game against the Rams where he's just going gangbusters and throwing for 350 yards or whatever, and the defense can't make a stop. But is that still? I feel like the primetime narrative or the primetime reality, because the record is what it is, has been put on the back burner a little bit because of the Saints playoff game last year. Like, he made that big throw to Adam Thielen and he outdueled Drew Brees and he won a big playoff game, and it kind of silenced the primetime criticism for the time being. And I have a feeling if he loses this game and plays poorly, it's going to be a major thing starting next week.
I think the primetime feeling about Cousins is inability to win big games also was sort of changed by the Sunday night win in Dallas where they beat the Cowboys. That might have been his first primetime win. So he still has not won on a Monday night, but I think he's now won. So he beat Washington here last year on a Thursday night, and then he beat Dallas on a Sunday night there. And so I think that sort of pushed that narrative aside a bit. I wonder, too, guys, if this Vikings team, especially if they lose this game, has so many issues beyond Cousins in prime time at this point that was a focus. Because that was the whole, is this a Super Bowl team? Is Cousins a Super Bowl quarterback? Man, if he can't play in the bright lights. I wonder if it's sort of also been pushed aside by the fact that this team just flat out across the board now has bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, but even then, but now you're kind of getting into the conditions aren't perfect, so of course he's going to play poorly on Sunday night. And it's like that's an argument that I'm sort of sick of the, you already know who he is. I know, but until the front office makes a different decision on the quarterback position, I'm going to keep pointing out the flaws that hold this team back from winning a Super Bowl. So Russell Wilson, on the other hand, seems like he steps up in these primetime games.
I just think the Vikings have issues now that go so far beyond that, because they're truly not that good, that we're probably not talking about it enough. Because that's sort of a conversation that I think you have if you perceive your team to be a Super Bowl team. Like, if you can't win in prime time, how are you going to win the big game? Well, the big game is so far away now. And plus, with Kirk at this point, I just think we sort of know him. Like, it's not an excuse. It's just, it's not really going to change ultimately that much. Like, I don't think that starting on Sunday in Seattle, Kirk's going to go on a sudden run, let's say, of six consecutive primetime wins. Oh, my God, it's completely changed.
When can they start flexing out? Can they flex Monday games?
They could have flexed. No, they can't. But they could have flexed Sunday games starting with this game.
Yep. Okay.
And they elected to keep it because, shockingly, Russell Wilson's playing.
So they're going to have a guaranteed Monday night game at Chicago on November 16th.
Yeah, we're stuck with that.
I'm going to guess that the national TV window game, the Fox 325 kickoff against Dallas on the 22nd of November, gets flexed back to noon. If those two teams are both like under 500,
okay,
I'm going to guess that they don't play that. I know that doesn't count as a primetime game, but it's like it's a big window. And then that Christmas Day game against New Orleans on a Friday, that's staying.
Yeah, we're stuck with that game.
So he'll get three shots at the primetime window, or the island window, as they call
it. I like that term.
I've never heard
island window
in an article.
That's interesting.
The island window for Kirk. So
go ahead and lose. Just go ahead and lose. It's okay to lose. 2020, it's been tough. It's okay to lose.
And if they lose or if they win, it doesn't matter. We're going to be with you on Vikings Vent Line right after the game, late Sunday night, on the Purple Daily YouTube page, youtube.com/Purple Daily Podcast, and also available to live on Score North Twitter and Facebook if you want to hang out with us. And if you want to be part of the show, you can email vikingsventline@gmail.com, and we'll see if we can get you into the actual live video with us.
Sunday night, where is he going to be coming from?
That's interesting.
Hopefully a hot tub. Just 12 beers in.
What happens in the Fargo nightlife? Yeah, I mean, he's North Dakota. I don't know if he's Fargo.
12 beers
in. Oh, boy.
He was in Fargo.
He was in Fargo, yeah.
Anyhow, that's a wrap on this episode of Purple Daily. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we will see you guys next time.